If you were going to be a lawyer in the United States, you had to memorize and defend the book of Romans. Wow. Because they said, you know, Paul has a mastermind of reasoning and carrying out his arguments. And so if you can follow that vein, you could wisely use the law. Pretty good, huh? I think we need to go back to that, don't you? Yeah, that's for sure. But John chapter 1, for instance, we'll look at verses 1 through 4. John chapter 1, 1 through 4. Even one sentence ought to cause your mind to go back to something. In the beginning, have you heard that before? Okay, you're right. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God doesn't defend himself. God declares himself. Very important difference. God just begins to declare himself. He's the creator. And by physical creation, he'll open up the way for spiritual creation. And one is necessary to believe the other. Unfortunately, in our day and time, they keep knocking out, what's the least? There's a book out. What's the least you can believe and still be a Christian? Are you kidding me? What's the least you can believe and still call yourself a Christian? That's terrible, isn't it? So, in the beginning goes right back to the beginning of God's revelation in Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Who is the Word here? God the Son. All things were made by him. See, that's creation. And without him was not anything made that was made. It doesn't get any clearer than that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And I particularly like this one. It's not a beginning, but John 10:10. I just wanted to look at this one. And we're just going to look at the other in this passage. We're going to look at the beginning of books. Not all of them because we don't have time, but what time we have, we will fill it with these beginnings. John 10:10. This is the contrast of Christ's character and Satan's character. John 10:10. The thief, that's the character of Satan. He is a thief. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he's not a very good master, is he? Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. Life is eternal life, and experiencing it more abundantly is becoming like Jesus Christ. That would be the abundance of fruit being produced in our life, or the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as in Galatians 5:22 through 23. Now go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. What's an apostle, by the way? One whom Jesus personally commissioned. In other words, face to face. All right. Separated unto the gospel of God. That was his life. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That's the Old Testament. And what was the promises about? They were concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, that means the human line, humanity, and declared openly demonstrated to be what? The Son of God with power, which means all authority, according to the Spirit of holiness. And at what point was that openly declared? Here it is, by the resurrection from the dead. That's quite an opening statement. Go to Galatians chapter 1. as we said, all of these are actually a deep sermon in themselves just by the word studies. Galatians. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Let's go to 2 Corinthians first. I skipped one. I have to say this one, 2 Corinthians 1, because it's such a blessing. Now you're going to see nuances here as we go through these introductions. I'm going to ask you, what is he trying to accomplish in this letter? And you're going to answer according to the Bible. How many think it's a good answer to answer according to the Bible? What do you think God's trying to accomplish in this letter through Paul? Well, he kind of skinned them up one side and down the other for being carnal, though they were holy, in 1 Corinthians. So in 2 Corinthians, he lightens the tone, and he wants to make sure that they are feeling a certain way with his words. Let's see what it is. 2 Corinthians 1, 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, you'll see him saying that over and over again. How did that happen? Well, it was by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother. So Timothy's with Paul there, and they're writing this letter to the believers at Corinth. Unto the church of God which at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That alone declares the deity of Christ, because he's saying grace and peace come from both of them. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all what? Comfort. And then here is ministry, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be left to ourselves and not have any more ministry. Nope, there's a reason why he does it. He comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That's pretty good, isn't it? What do you think this word come fortified means? Come get fortified. That's what it means. It means join yourself to Christ's strength. That's what the Anglo-Saxon word used to mean. Come and get strengthened. Come forted. Come fortified. Come get strengthened. And you get that through the word. Okay, so I really like that opening right there. None of our suffering is supposed to be wasted. We're supposed to access the strength of Christ and actually become a greater minister in our weakness. Pretty good stuff, amen? Now go to Galatians, if you will. You can start seeing the flavors by which Paul is writing these. Galatians is primarily the book of, well, some will say, all of them are, but it's primarily the book of what one word? Grace. Grace. Okay, what is the primary thought in the book of Romans? Who is righteous before God? The whole book's answering that question. One word, righteousness. Who is righteous before God? Answer, any sinner that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is declared righteous before God. Okay, now the book of Galatians. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, he's what? He's an apostle. What is an apostle? One that's seen Jesus Christ face to face. Was Paul appointed by men, according to this verse? It says, not of men. So his apostleship wasn't by man's vote. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, not even by one man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. That's his sending source. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our what? Sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, the world system, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever, and all God's people say, Amen. So he just concludes right there in five verses, Galatians 1 through 5. Now here's a very interesting thing. How many of you ever heard of John MacArthur? Well, who hasn't heard of John MacArthur, right? And what is the name of his broadcast, church broadcast? It's called what? Anybody? Grace to You. Grace to You. See, Tom wins a prize tonight. Grace to You. And this is where he gets his name for that ministry right here. Grace to You. When are you getting grace? The answer is right now. Right as the word's being declared. Now, go to the end of the book. You'll find this. I thought we were just looking at the importance of beginnings. We are, but I can't contain myself, so we'll just have to conclude it. I think you're going to like this one, Zach. Now, Zach, when you go back to college, let them know, hey, guys, I'm going to show you something. So the books start with grace to you. And once you've heard what the word says, what are you supposed to do? You supposed to leave it in the pew and go about your life like nothing happened? Or are you supposed to take it with you? And when you take it with you, you start assimilating it in your life. So when he concludes the letters, you can do your own investigation. Look at verse 18 of Galatians 6. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to your spirit. Amen. Is that what he says? No. No, what does he say? Be with your spirit. Amen. What you've read of the Lord, take it with you now and let it do a transforming work in your life. That he concludes them like that. So you should be looking right at Ephesians probably, since we just read the last verse of Galatians there too. You'll find that pattern over and over again. And now Ephesians. Ephesians is probably the loftiest work. Romans is definitely a lawyer work. Reasoning, the mind and how it works. You know, renewing your mind. Get a new mind. You get stinking thinking. You know, this is a... You need to know what God says and think the way God thinks. That's what he's trying to... Anybody ever had a case of stinking thinking, particularly about God and what's going on in the world? And yeah, everybody has. So that's why we got to go back to the word and, you know, like for instance, I'm so scared of global warming. Well, I come into church tonight, I wasn't scared of any global warming. I was reading. Well, maybe we're going to freeze to death now. You know, every 20 years, by the way, this rotates back and forth. You know that, right? So they finally gave up and said, climate change. Okay, that's nothing. So anyways, this is just really nothing but political means by which to control people. And it is an avenue by which you may witness for Christ. Folks, we couldn't destroy the planet if we wanted to. Somebody said that recently. We couldn't destroy the planet if we wanted to. There's at least 1,007 years left on this planet. All God's people say. Okay. If you believe the Bible, that's true. And if you don't believe it, it's true too. All right. But this is his loftiest work. These are like fireworks going off in the heart and mind of truths that you just, it's almost just too good to be true. By the way, there's a word in here we're going to have to deal with. I don't see any place in the Bible where the word election deals with unsaved people, wondering whether or not they're the elect. I never see that in the Bible. I only see the elect written to an understanding of saved people, for them to have security that God was actually working before you trusted him. That's what it's supposed to be. And it's supposed to take you forward to the future. Salvation's of the Lord. I think we all can agree on that. Amen. But look at Ephesians 1, 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, see, he does it again, doesn't he? By the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, that's two sentences describing one character of people. They're holy and they're faithful. What does he say in verse 2? Grace be what? To you. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of those rockets shot up in the sky. It just burst all over the place, and it almost sounds like it's too good to be true. It's limited, yet it's explosive at the same time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. One way, Christ, but when you go through that door, you're going to see all the blessings of God have actually come through Christ. All of them. And then he says this. Who's he writing to? Saved people or unsaved people? Very important who he's writing to, yeah. According as he hath chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. Now that stretches my little mind, and I hope it stretches yours, and I hope you can just bow before God in humility and say, wow, that's amazing. Amen? So according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. I think the term in love comes to the next verse, but in loving, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And then verse 6, the first part of a song, this is a song, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, and the word means fully accepted, in the beloved. And the beloved is Jesus Christ. Where does God the Father fully accept me? In Jesus Christ. Hey, when he was writing this, you know, today if you don't want a child for some reason, you can do what they say, terminate it, or which is abort it, whatever, put it to death. They didn't have such an option in the older times such as that. So you know what they would do with the children? They'd have the children, and then they would leave the children outside the door. They'd just leave the children outside the door. So, you know, when a child's first born, it needs mother's milk, correct? So what would ladies who were Christians start to do? They would go and pick up those babies and they would adopt them into their family because their real family had abandoned them. That's amazing. That's amazing. So that's what was happening in Ephesus. Interesting that he uses that word, don't you think? Yes or no? Very interesting. And then the book of James, don't have time to get into it tonight because, man, I'm only halfway through my introduction here. This whole sermon's about introductions, though, so I'm just getting started. No pun intended, right? The book of James. You know, don't turn there, just listen, because I'm just applying what this adoption part. In the book of James, when it says that, you know, we'll don't conform to the world, and how your works will come out of your faith. Well, three things he said there. You'll visit widows in their affliction, and then you'll have, what is it? You'll have the fatherless. And then Edith will call you and tell you why her phone is not. All right, it's okay, Edith. So, the fatherless. Three. Think about that. If you, in that day and time, those who would be hurting the most would be widows and the fatherless. Who are the fatherless? The ones left on the street. They're abandoned. So when the Christians ladies who were, listen, they were feeding their own recently born children. That's why they had milk. And they would adopt these children, and they're just like, these are our kids now.
Wow.
Now, that's amazing, isn't it? That's love. So James writes about that as well. So you see a little bit of nuances of those things there. And for him to use that word for us shows a very depth of tenderness of God to say that. Let's go to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. What's the primary word in Philippians? What'd you say to that?
Joy.
Joy. Got it. How many times are we to take joy in the Lord? Again and again and again. I don't have any joy right now. You don't? Well, I can tell you where you can find it. It's in Jesus Christ. And the joy will return. I like that, don't you? And you know that's Philippians 4:4. But we're looking at chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. There's one particular word that I want us to be left with here. This, and we're not going to make all these. We might have to do two Wednesday nights on this one. But Philippians 1, 1 through 6. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, overseers, those pastor teachers and the deacons. Grace, a what? Be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Anybody ever got that in a card? Somebody gave you a card and they used that verse that they thanked God when they thought about you. Who wouldn't like getting a card like that? Anybody? Would you like getting a card like that? Be nice. I thank God when I think of you. That sounds pretty nice. All right. Verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. For your fellowship, they enjoyed the fellowship of one another. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now tell me what you're supposed to take away from this. Being confident. That's the focal point. What am I to be confident about? Of this very thing. You're taking the prism and you're taking that light and you're coming right down to one focal point. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you has decided to leave you to your own devices. That's not what it says. He which hath begun a good work in you has decided not to work with you anymore. Is that what it says? He that hath begun a good work in you has realized that you don't have a perfect record now, and he's not putting up with this anymore, and he's going on a vacation. Answer, that's not what it says. You're being facetious, Pastor Long. Just get to the point. Okay. Being confident, right down to this point, of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's a day when you're going to see Jesus Christ come again. You're going to see him face to face. And until that time, he's going to be working his own character change in you. And you can be confident he's going to keep working and doing the job. All God's people say, amen. Time's gone. I didn't get halfway through. Okay. I'm going to save this for later. See, I told you that was a little different. Amen. You want one more? Sure you do, right? Let's go one more. Colossians. Just one more. We'll finish another night these other ones. Let's do Colossians 1, 1 through 6. There's a certain word in here, and if you don't have it, you're going to dry up and die. If you don't have this, you're going to start drying up. And you're going to start dying fast. But God will give you this because of what's happening in the future. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, here we go again, right? An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and Timotheus our brother. To the saints and faithful brethren, what's that mean? Again, holy ones. He's referring to they're also faithful, their brethren, brothers in Christ, which were at Colossae. Grace be unto you. Notice the pattern. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. When do they get into grace? Right now, as they're reading it. They're reading this letter to the congregation. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints. What a testimony. There's a body of believers and they're known for loving one another. And that knowledge is starting to spread across the world. And here's why they love one another, based on this. For the hope. And that's a word you have to have an exercise or you're going to dry up. A man that doesn't have any hope is speedily dying. Speedily dying. Hope. For the hope which is laid up for you, where? In heaven. Anybody going to take it away? Could a thief break through and steal? Nope. Where have ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? That's how you got hope. You got hope because you believed the gospel. What's hope? It's a confident expectation that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. That's hope. Confident expectation that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Verse 6, which is coming to you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit. So if you're hoping that God is going to keep his word, it's going to start producing Christ's likeness in your life, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew. That means you personally experience the grace of God, which is found where? In truth. He's talking about the gospel there. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of truth tonight. We see that based upon your resurrection in one introduction, we can live with your power, and that same power is available to us by means of the Holy Spirit. We saw that we need to have confidence. We need to have hope based on what you've already done. And you will keep your word. We thank you, dear Lord, that we can have comfort. There's a ministry involved when we're having trouble. And we come to you and you strengthen us. Now we can tell other people how we made it through what we've gone through. We made it through because God strengthened us and carried us through. He fortified us in our spirit. That's so encouraging tonight, dear Lord. We thank you. We thank you that you've given us this grace to read tonight, these beginnings of books. And we look at this later some other night. But for tonight, dear Lord, help us to take the grace that we read about with us. You're our comforter. You're our confidence. You're our hope. You have given us the power of the resurrection. And you are the Son of God. And all God's people say, amen. See, I just made it the applications as I went through it, Colton, because they just stuck out. And that's when you're studying the Bible in a different way like that, you'll see those things that'll come out like that. And the people don't need fanfare. They just